question. That's the thing. As far as we'll go. Let's take the question of Maris Ayin. It's getting late, and then we'll take some questions on this. Well, another question which has been raised over the years is ways of covering one's hair become more and more comfortable, and they become more attractive. So does that mean that they should be less permissible? Right. That means both in terms of does it go against the halacha, and number two, is it a problem of maris ayin? The question is, if a woman wears a shetel and it is hard to tell that it's a shetel, is that a problem of maris ayin? Again, the poskim have written this. Rav Moshe writes a very pretty tshuva. Apparently, there was a little bit of a debate between husband and wife. A woman wanted to wear a shetel, and the husband claimed that the shetel was such a good shetel that there was an issur of maris ayin that nobody would know that that his wife is covering her hair. So Rav Moshe argues that the women know. Could be that men can't figure out sometimes if it's a very good shetel, but women always know. So as long as women know, no longer maris ayin. Maris ayin doesn't mean that everybody has to know. Maybe that has to be so blatantly obvious and not divine. It means that it could be well understood by a good group of people, certainly by a row of people, that this is a woman covering her hair. And that's why in the more recent development, when women have different, as they falls, and can sometimes cover the point where the fall becomes most obvious. So again, now that has become a common way for women to cover their hair, so there's no longer an issue of maris ayin. Maris ayin is only if most people look at the situation would think that someone is not doing what's correct. But in a situation where most people will look at it and would say that this woman is covering her hair, so then that is not a problem of maris ayin. The reason why the tshuva is an amusing tshuva is apparently Rav Moshe knew that this husband was clean shaven. So part of the tshuva is, in order to prove that his wife is not in violation of Kisui Rosh, he said, no one knows how you shave, right? No one knows whether you're using your razor or using an electric shaver. So why isn't that maris ayin? You know, in the street, a person can assume that you're using a razor. He says, because men might know, because you yourself may be able to feel it. Somebody looks very, very close, that's not the right people. And many more people will know that your wife is wearing a shetel than those who know why you shaved this morning, right? So he says, but we say that's not maris ayin. So that's how he apparently knew there was a shalom bias issue, so he had to respond in that way. So that's when it comes to the maris ayin. Let's just take a few questions, and then we'll finish up. Go ahead.
As far as I know, all of these halachas are pretty much
kol v'ishan, possibly. Go ahead.
Okay. Assuming that that's all true, the only thing.
Right.
So why?
That's the corollary of your first question.
Yeah, I know. Why does the status of woman's hair change when she gets married, and why then if she is married?
Okay, so I'll come back then. I'll come back then. Mm-hmm. We'll finish up with that. Go ahead.
What's the halacha of a father, brother, grandfather, father-in-law, brother-in-law seeing your hair?
I think that we have to separate the two issues. In terms of what you're asking is in the privacy of my own home, yeah. Right? And I'm taking the position that I will cover my hair when I'm entertaining other men in the house. Now, what about when my brother is at home? What about when my father is at home? So I think the answer to that is that in the short period of time after one gets married, so it is permissible for a brother and a father to see their sister and their daughter's hair uncovered because they're still used to it. They live together that way. There is some time, and I can't put a figure onto it, but there is some time when, after the young couple is no longer living at home for some time, then the father is no longer used to seeing his daughter's uncovered hair, the brother as well. So at that time, it becomes like any other woman whose hair is uncovered. So again, that becomes sometimes an issue of aggravation for fathers and for brothers. And I think that was that. No, usually it's the fathers who are upset. Usually the fathers say, I can't see my daughter's hair. Right, so usually it's the fathers who get upset. Was that?
Yeah, I think we're all going to cover it in front.
So that's
it.
So at some point it does become, and I can't say when that, when the point of regilus changes. You were certainly as good as me, that's for sure. Right, then it may take a lot longer before they change. Yeah, correct. Maybe not. Maybe if there's a kid, let's say one's living in one's parents' home for several years, so then maybe not. I'm not aware of any system.
No,
makes sense,
well.
That's good, that's pretty good. I think. No, if you have, you can tell me why it doesn't make sense, I'm open, but I don't have anybody who's in front of them. No, I don't know. Not yet. No, only be. Right. Right. So again, when it comes to other people not part of the family, so we assume that that regilus does not, that the comfort level does not develop over a short period of time. And there could be individual situations which are a little bit different. Right? There could be situations that are different. And again, this all comes back to the point that Jennifer was saying before, that there is this rub that we have not fully explained. About why we permit Zeishif, right? So it's all, there is that point that we still have to figure out. There's not, the things you don't understand. I don't think there's any strong source for it. There are people, there is a minhag that some women have to cover their hair when they daven, but I don't think that there's so if a person has that minhag from their parents, they should follow through. For example, there's a common picture, then yet a practice that a woman covers her hair when she lights candles. There are many women who cover their hair when Kiddush is being said, right? So let's figure that out. Why should a woman daven, say, every bracha and all benching without covering her hair? And then when it comes to Kiddush, she covers her hair and halakas and eris. So my theory, and I've not been able to prove this at all, my theory is that there is a machlokas aposkim the Kiddush is being said always, the husband is always saying Kiddush next to his wife, right? So when it comes to Kiddush, she was always in a position where she should have covered her hair for him saying Kiddush, right? So my theory is that that's what happened with Kiddush. Women got used to always covering their hair because that was the one thing that they always said next to their husbands. There's nothing else they always said next to their husbands. And then I figured Kiddush went to Halakas and Eros, let's say a figure happened. But you will see in various forms the idea of a woman covering her hair. So if a woman has that practice, fine. I don't think it's halachically necessary. One certainly can do that, yeah. Now again, does that, in other words, it's preferable to cover one's hair when the husband is saying a bracha. Now, the other side, if we drive a woman crazy, then that's she has to do that, or can we follow the Mishnah Berurah that the husband turns his head for a bracha, which is very reasonable given the Aruch HaShulchan says that he needn't turn his head, and the Mishnah Berurah said it's okay for him to turn his head. So if it means he wants to run upstairs, downstairs, has to have all the other things he has to worry about, she has to worry about this as well, that could become cumbersome, and therefore I could easily see a person saying so. So I'll turn my head, the husband's saying on the other hand, let's say husband sits down to the daven shacharis to learn, it's for a longer period of time, so then it would be preferable, certainly, to, my own thinking is that the Mishnah Berurah's position, on these dates, is more accepted amongst the poskim. So I think one should try. And then there's a discussion between Rav Moshe and other poskim, when a woman is in nida. When a woman is in nida, so must she cover her hair? That's a machlokas amongst the mafarshim. Rav Moshe is meiko. He's leaning in that regard. He holds that when a woman is in nida, she need not cover her hair in front of her husband. Other poskim say that she should. All poskim say that she shouldn't drive herself crazy in that regard. Right. Go ahead.
My personal way, we always relied on having
my
hair uncovered.
Good.
But I would never have.
Is that an inconsistency? Is that inconsistent? I guess one could argue that for my husband, can we distinguish between the regilus for my husband and one probably could argue that I have to think about this. One probably could argue that where something is right, something along those lines. It also may depend on whether regilus means that one doesn't have that state of excitation, or it means that we are allowing ourselves. I have to think about it. Not in the privacy of one's own home. So in the privacy of one's own home, so then it's all an issue of Erevan, and Regilus should be an issue. I mean, one could defend the position by saying that I'm really accepting the Aruch HaShulchan's view, but I'm being marked like the Mishnah Berurah's view. So in a situation of great discomfort, having to worry about every time my husband says a bracha, so I go with the Ikar Adin. That could be a defensible position. Let's come back.
Anybody make any comment about covering
the door? So that would be the once a boy becomes, let's say, bar mitzvah, so then he'd be in the same position as the husband with respect to brachos and kriyshma and things like that. Also, I think there's a chinuch issue over there that has to think about. At one point, do we introduce this? Right. Now, I'm thinking that, but I'm saying that there could be a chinuch issue that one may not want to make this a part of one's home for a young boy who's 13 or 14. So it could be that it is wise to have a relaxed situation until he becomes older and it becomes an issue that he focuses on. I have to explore the idea, but from a chinuch perspective, it may not be wise to make this a focal point from the mother's perspective. I'll let it come up naturally. That shouldn't be at all. Rav Moshe happens to say it's in the front, but
Rav Moshe's example says it's in the front, but you could have your tefach in the front, but not in your back.
No. Rav Moshe, when he says how to measure the tefach, he says, the face is usually two tefachim long,
right, and
therefore if you use two fingers, you'll have a tefach. But I don't think that's just a way of measuring it. I can't imagine it's making any difference.
So if you covered all your hair in the front, but left through the
back. I think, for sure.
When you say two fingers, do you mean like
average fingers?
Like all the way across?
Yeah.
Or you mean two?
No. So like this.
Four.
Yeah, four. Four. That's the difference if you come this year, you're getting taped.
Right.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. 100%. Yeah, sure. Ben? So let's just finish up with the very important comment, and that comes back to what Jen was saying before. And that is that there are two parts to the mitzvah of Kisei Rosh. One that we say is based on issues of angst and of anxiety and of istaklus and of maintaining or not violating a woman even in one's thoughts and even the way that looks at a woman. A woman shouldn't be violated in this way. And the other issue is really something that we don't really have a good interpretation, we don't really understand. The mitzvah, woman covering your hair, right, you have to separate the two parshios. The parsha of Seir B'Isha Erva, so that has to do with sexual issues and with, again, Hirhurim Ram and inappropriate thinking, inappropriate looking. That's one parsha of Kisei Rosh, and that's the part of, again, Seir B'Isha Erva. That's the sugya in Brachos Chav Beis. That is Chav Dalet. And that is what's debated by the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Berurah, whether or how it applies nowadays. And that is the discussion we have when we're not talking about being in a public area. We're talking about being in front of other men. Then it's simply a question of erva. And then again, if we analyze it in a deeper way, it's what we've mentioned, whether it is that whether we are whether the Torah wants us to establish a certain modicum of conduct and presentation, and a certain level of excitation that men should not cross, or whether it's entirely socially based. That's the Machlokes Mishnah Berurah in the Aruch HaShulchan. But the other parsha, the parsha in the Ksuvos Ayin Beis, that a woman has to cover her hair after she gets married, and that's based on what we learn from the parsha of Sota, so that we do not understand. We don't have a good reason, so to speak, a good rationale for that mitzvah. We should not assume that that has anything to do with Seir V'Isha Erva. That has anything to do with whether the woman should present herself, how she should present herself. In other words, the assumption that sometimes one finds, and that it became one of the arguments with respect to shekels, that it's supposed to be a way of making a woman more noticeably married and perhaps less attractive, that's not correct. That's part of the upshot of our analysis. That once we point out, and again, I believe this is the mainstream view, that once we point out that the parsha of Kisirosh, based on the parsha of Sota, based on the Gemara and Ksuvos, once we say that, that's distinct, unrelated, and it doesn't bear down on the sources at all of Seir V'Isha Erva, then we should appreciate it's not, has nothing to do with how a woman presents herself, like to do with beauty, with charm. It's not related. If it would be related, the Gemara would be related. And that's why the question of whether one can wear a shetel that after all said and done is attractive, makes one more attractive, fine, why not? There's no Easter at all in that. That's based on an understanding that was imposed and which really has no base whatsoever, has no source whatsoever, to say that Kisirosh has to do with making women less attractive. I don't think we'll find any source, again, when we're talking about Shas and Rishonim. Achronim sometimes present this. But I think that's inaccurate, and I think there's the fact that the Gemara so clearly separates the two sugyas makes that an appropriate way of looking at it. How do we understand it? It may be a chok. It may be something that we don't have a good rationale for. That no strong source has ever been developed to show that it is part of showing that one is married. The best understanding that I would have of it is something that was suggested by Rabbi Berman many years ago. And that is, we mentioned this every so often in Shur, that we do find a thrust within halacha that the greater the sanctity, the more the concern that the hair should be covered, that the head should be covered. Right? We find, for example, the Kohen Gadol had to have a very had one kind of hat. The Kohen Hedyot had to have a different kind of hat. Right? In fact, the Kohen Hedyot's hat was one that was very, very heavy and was very cumbersome, and he was always aware that he was wearing a hat. Gemara says that when a person is on a higher level of sanctity, there's a greater requirement to cover one's head. For example, the Gemara says it was a practice that when Shabbos came in, people would sit with Kisei Rosh, men would sit with Batipas Rosh, with their talesim over their head, ready to accept Kabbalah Shabbos. Maybe that's a source for women covering their hair by Lakas HaNeiros. That one has an extra covering. The idea of Atipas HaRosh, that men cover their head with their talesim during parts of davening, during the entirety of davening. So these are all times, there used to be a time when Rachmana Litzlan, when a person was an Ovel, they would cover their heads during Avelos, because that was a way of achieving greater focus, as the Rashi says. Greater focus usually accompanies a greater sense of Kedusha, a sense of sanctity. So if one takes this approach, which that's why Kos Shel Bracha, there are many people that will cover their head when they make Bracha, Berkas HaMazon, over a Kos. They give a greater respect, the Gemara says, for the Kos Shel Bracha. So we find very specific times where the Halacha says, I say Halacha because we're talking about the Reis of Kohen Gadol, we're talking about in Hagim and the Rabbanon and the Kisirosh, but you find this thrust in Halacha that covering one's head to a greater extent, when one's wearing a yarmulke, when one has Kisirosh, when one is davening. Some people only do kisei rosh or tifasei rosh with during Shmon Esrei, when one is omed lifnei hamelech. But we do find this theme that as one has an increased opportunity, a moment of sanctity, so then the requirements of covering one's head are increased. That's an association we find. And therefore, if one takes this association the next step, one would say that the mitzvah of a woman covering her hair when she gets married is because when she's setting up her home, when she's establishing, she comes part, and she becomes the Akeres Habayis, the mainstay, the fulcrum of a mikdash mat, of a place that will hopefully be infused with the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and a place that becomes the area where the Mesorah is transmitted and Yerushalayim is from, establishing a home that is the creates the climax and the environment of everything that's supposed to make sure that we grow in our Yerushalayim. So when a woman becomes the Ikeres Habayis, the Torah says there's a requirement that she should be appreciative of her new status in life and have, as a result, an increased level of Kisei Rosh. So that would be, to my mind, that's the best way of explaining it, understanding it, and then it becomes part of a much broader theme and distinct from the issues of Erba.
What is the issue of Chiyana Pasali?
Mm-hmm.
And why would we deal with
No, it would only come in. No, it only would come in. We would look at what the father is that Regilus worked until now, right? And then I'm assuming, unless one lives in a very close area, that then the Regilus falls away for the father. That's what I'm assuming. And the Regilus is not falling. That's why I don't know when it falls away for the father.
Why would that be? Brothers,
right.
More of a sexual thing.
Right.
And so with a father and a son, there really wouldn't be that issue. The
brothers after. Yeah. Agreed. Okay. Right. Now, so next step. So now, right. The regil is always there. Regil is always there. Right.
It's always there. But right. Really also, it would really fall into more the reason that.
No. I think we're saying it for us correct, and therefore, it would follow through with the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Berurah. Hashulchan would taking the father out of the picture, because at some point I'm assuming the father becomes a not a regil. Then the husband and all the boys in the family, they are still regilim. This comes back to your question. So we could follow the Aruch Hashulchan's approach that there's never a problem with saying, right? The Mishnah Berurah at some point would apparently say there is an issue. Right? Just like the Mishnah Berurah is an issue for the husband, right? Because when it comes to Krishma and Brachos, there's a heightened concern of the Gemara and Chaf Dalit, right? So you take that Mishnah Berurah's approach, then at some point the children would have to fall in line with the husband. No, that, okay, think about it, go ahead.